That was indeed Burt Bacharach singing his very own tune that he composed. This Guy's in Love with You on TV. Bill Nace, beautiful guitar piece called The Giant from a recent one of his last year, from October, November. It came out on Drag City. Through a Room, we heard The Giant. Did I say that? I bet I did. We heard Spill doing Pure from Mycelium. We heard Kiki Bohemia and Sicker Man doing I Saw You Kiss the Lion's Ass from Waiting for Wood. Burren and their Club of Gore with Kleinerfinger from 2005's wonderful Geisterfaust. And Jeff Parker opened that set with Four Folks from Four Folks. Beautiful guitar playing. Behind us now, RLW from Satanic Inventions. This is Fever Glazed Thine Ears number one. I'm the DJ who glazed your ears number four today. My name's Scott, and I look forward to seeing you again next week, my friends, here on Freeform Radio, WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope, in New York City, in Rockland County at 91.9 FM, worldwide online at WFMU.org. Have a great week. Bye.
With Hardy White. Hang on a minute. I want to say something. Listen, this is an experimental show. I'm worried that some of you might not know that. You might think, oh, I'm getting medicine. But, oh, it's just in the experimental stages. I just want to make that clear. Or you're in the placebo group. So, all right. That's it. I just wanted to let you know that before we go back to it. This is Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. Please enjoy the show. Well, if nobody else is going to talk about dog hair rope, I suppose I will. Oh, nowadays things are changing so much. People are well-meaning, like in the grocery store. Have you seen this? In the grocery stores now, they have the vegetables and all right next to these hardware items. So they'll have like bins of nails and screws and everything right next to the fruit. And I was in there to get some hazelnuts and I accidentally got some hex nuts. And gosh, I almost broke a tooth like Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who ran for president. And then he broke a tooth in the congressional cafeteria. And so he sued the cafeteria. But all the congressmen, they have those brittle, frail little teeth that are always coming apart. They'll be giving speeches. And as they're giving a speech, they'll spit out these broken pieces of teeth that are just crumbling out of their mouth. Oh, it's like a nightmare. My goodness, who would want to be a lawmaker? I don't know. Not I. Oh, my goodness, I'm here instead as a radio presenter. Have you seen this? Have you been to the radio? They have these things now where it'll implant in your ear. So it's like a earbud, but it's a totally different brain, or it's somebody else, or it's an earwig, but it's a very brilliant one and gets right in there. What are you listening to? Somebody is eavesdropping on you. What are they listening to on the radio? Oh, these talking heads. We don't even know it's a head. It's a radio. That's from TV. Talking what? What is it? Sound waves. Who is that? Well, you know, the worst thing to hear from somebody who's listening to someone speak on the radio is, hey, you ought to listen to this guy. He makes a lot of sense. Oh, that's a red flag. If somebody says that, oh, I've been listening to this person, makes a lot of sense. That's a bad reaction. That means maybe you're not learning anything. How do you figure that, Hardy? Well, listen to this. So let's say I'm telling you about something, like an event. So I went to Dougie's bar mitzvah. Oh, how was that? Oh, it was very nice. What was it? It was a steampunk theme. Isn't that crazy? But they all had leather keepas and everything, and everybody had a monocle or a little eyepiece or something. It was fun. I thought it was fun. And so I'm telling you that, and you wouldn't say to me, well, that makes a lot of sense, because that's not the reaction you'd have. And you go, okay, that's what you saw. Those are the facts as you know them. If you're saying that something makes sense, then I've drawn a conclusion. Oh, step over here to the dry board with me. What's the dry board? It's a bunch of old people sitting around a table talking about our organization. Oh, my goodness. The dry board of directors. It's not just a pun. It's a way of life here. We have everything we run by them. So step in the office with you. I want to show you something. I want to show you a diagram of what happens when we draw a conclusion from something. Now, this happens all the time. Let's say you see something, a little slice of life. What's a slice of life? Well, I won't go into the physics of it, of time and everything like that, but it's like a slice of pizza, except it doesn't have as much ground meat. I don't know what you put on your pizza. People put all sorts of things. Have you seen this? Have you seen now they're putting on pizza tobacco? Who wants tobacco on their pizza? What are you doing, Hardy? Because I've noticed there's something different about the way you're talking. Well, I've been listening to a lot of 80s observational stand-up humor. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if the observations were not real? Because I think they're relying a lot on collective experience. And my gosh, my audience is diverse. So I'm sort of selecting absurd situations and then saying to them, isn't that always the way? And they'll go, no. That would be my favorite entertainment kind of thing as a kid. I love the kind of really stupid people that go, you know, does this go in my nose? And you go, no. Because as wonderful as a kid, you feel empowered. You go, well, I know that much. It's nice to feel a little smarter than somebody. Oh, my God, that person's an adult, and they don't know not to pour water on their head. So I love that. I think kids would take it too far and start to bully Mr. Noodle. You know, Mr. Noodle's stupid! You know, but I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't, you know. Maybe they would get into, you know, just telling them what to do and how to be helpful. At some point, the children would go like, Mr. Noodle's got to learn to make decisions on his own and not ask. Or whatever. Same thing with Steve Blue's Clues. You know? I would say, I watch that show for 2 seconds. This is just me as an adult. And I go, Steve, you figure it out. Bless you, but you don't need my help all the time. You don't have to check everything. Just go ahead and do it. I've met children like that. You know, is this it? Is this a clue? I don't know, man. Why don't you think of, you decide. I'm going to stand here and watch you play. Children do that. Hardy, play Tea Party with me. I will. I'll sit here and I'm going to watch you play Tea Party. Well, interact. Well, this is what I would do at a regular tea party. You sit here and mind my business. I don't know how many people are here. What are we pretending? First of all, what am I getting into? Is it just the two of us? Where are we? Like Russian tea room or something? Little mini my dinner with Andre Jr. That'd be really nice. They used to make little kid versions of adult films, and they don't do it as much anymore. But like Bugsy Malone or something. Is that one, you know, little kid gangster movie? I'd go for little kids, My Dinner with Andre, or anything, really. Just all kids. No, that's not true. I have an album, and it's called, like, oh, this is horrible. I don't want to think. It's called, like, Kids Sing Grown-Up Songs. And I don't know whether that was amusing to people in the 60s, but it just sounds horrifying to me. A little nightmarish. I love nightmares. I don't like being in them, but I like the idea of them. What is scaring me? What is chasing me? Why don't I want to turn around and have my face eaten off? What is it about? Is it losing my face that's the problem? Is it the pain? Is it the gore? Speaking of which, when I was in the future, and I was telling the robot masters that control time and space that were sending some stuff back, no one's going to believe the name Al Gore, right? That's like a little on the nose. It's like, yeah, we're going to send Al Gore's name would be AI Gore. And I go, no, come on. Something more subtle. Not Al Gore. People go Al Gore rhythm, and they go, yeah. Man, robots are corny. So when they sent him back, because I thought there was something up with that guy. Yeah. So anyway, but it turns out I was wrong, because nobody really caught on, I don't think. Same, a lot of people have been sent from the future. Like who? This guy makes a lot of sense, right? Don't I? No, I wouldn't do that to you. I'm against sense. It's hard to say. Sometimes I'm upset that that's my slogan. Because people say, Hardy, what are you for? I go, I don't know what I'm for, but I'm against hemp. What? A hemp? No, I said I'm against sense. And there's a lot, you know, I don't know. So sense adverse, that's hard to get out too. The human mouth, I'm no Busta Rhyme. I can't, blah, 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 blah. I can't even do that. I fantasize about that, speaking really quickly. I already speak too quickly. Young people speak too quickly for me. I go, whoa, listen, my hearing is waning. And also, speak so rapidly on that rapid fire stuff. They'll say, like, Hardy, would you like something to eat? And I'm like, what? Slow down, friend. I do a do I speak? My thoughts are going quickly, I think. But my words, I've learned to take a little pause. I learned that. Say, why don't you pause and think before you speak? That lesson, it took a long time for me to get that one. But I think that now. That's why I don't always make witty, timely comments at parties and everything. You'll be talking about something and I'll think, I'm going to say this. And they go, are you though, Hardy? Why? And then, thank God, the conversation moves on. So I don't say half the things I think of. And are you just trying to get a laugh? Yes, I am. That's it. Otherwise, there's no reason to speak, really. No one's asked me anything. And I do. If they ask me something, I answer it. Not truthfully, but, I mean, gosh, it's rude not to. You say not truthfully. Are you a liar? I'm the philosophy department kind of liar. Like, I'm just uncertain of the truth of what I'm saying. I'm not obfuscating. As far as I know, I just can't be sure. I'm so sorry. I know there's a congressman now who's like, I'm from another planet, or I invented toast. But I don't lie like that. He'll say, Hardy, are you happy? And I'll go, yes. I'm sorry. Am I? Yes. And then immediately I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm not. Or sometimes it's really bad. Like, Hardy, did you run over an old lady on the way here? And you go, oh, God, could I have? But that might not, that's not something you want to brain-wise try to banish that. I'm pretty sure I didn't. But that's why I like to not drive, one. And it's not that I'm not aware. I worry, I guess, about stuff. And You shouldn't. You should relax. I want you to relax now. I want you to see this as a relaxation tape. When I go to sleep, I listen to these things, these tapes. Not tapes, the YouTube videos. Which ones? The workout ones. I like to go to sleep to people, you know. Beep. Go, exercise now. Thump, 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 thump. And then you do squats to dubstep. And I love it. It puts me right to sleep to watch people do that. Sometimes I like to watch vintage ones. I have old Jazzercise VHSs I get out. It just lulls me to sleep. I'll wake up and I'll see those tights. And the combination of wearing like kind of hot pink and a kind of melon honeydew color. Oh, it just puts me right to, back to sleep again. Watching them Jazzercise. Whatever, we don't think enough about these wonderful kind of hybrid genres that that our American culture has created. It's like your jazz. What could we put with jazz or size? It could be jazz and exercise. Could have been anything. Jazzookery would be like a cooking with jazz. Anything you can think of, any movement can be jazzed up, as we used to say. Put jazz to it. I don't know how much jazz was going on in Jazzercise, though. I wonder about that. You go, oh, what was that? What are they? They're doing? They're squatting to Clifford Brown? No, they're not. So I was going to do, so the rest of the show, I'm just going to talk about what I think is real jazz and what I think is kind of whack and not real. Now, I don't think I'll do that. You know, this guy's making a lot of sense. Is he? What is sense and how do you make it? I can give you a recipe for it. You know, I used to do an experiment on the radio, but I've lost a lot of listeners for it. And that is you start giving people instructions like steps. You don't tell them what it's for and they'll start doing them. It's like people getting in a line. You know, we're kind of conditioned, you know, all right, now hold your right hand up. Someone will do it. Some people will imagine doing it. But, and then if it doesn't have a conclusion, like you forget to tell them to put it down or anything, it gets weird. You go, what now, Hardy? So therefore, you should never give anything to the voice you're listening to as far as any kind of unconscious obedience. Never, just don't obey. No, that's terrible. You have to do that. I'm sorry. Listen to your teachers, kids, unless they're monsters. That's why I don't like to give any flat advice like that, you know. And that's problematic to people when you go, yes, honor your parents. What does that even mean? What does that mean? I think it means, the only thing it means, I think, explicitly, is to give them some sort of tribute dinner. Because everything else is like, well, what if they're horrible or something like that? Well, you say, well, why would you give them a tribute dinner? Well, those things are kind of neutral. People resent them anyway. So, but, you know, I don't know what, it's hard. You know, things are nuanced. On different parents' day, people go, well, now this hits different for me. I had a different experience. So one size doesn't really fit all, unless you put all in quotations, and all is usually in quotations. One size fits all you can eat, right? All spice. It's not all spice. It's one spice. But words. Have you seen this in the grocery store? They've got things. There's almost no observational. This grocery store has been picked over as far as observational humor. Same with the airlines. You know, you go into the airlines in your head to do some observational humor, and you go, God, it's like comedians of past and present have descended here like vultures or hyenas or something, and picking at the flesh of all the minutiae of the experience, of this collective experience. That's what they do. They hit collective experience like it's a trash heap, and they pick through it, and they're looking for something. Oh, make a joke about so-and-so. I was watching... some 80s stand-up routine the other day, and he was talking about a movie. I won't even say which movie because then you'll know what comedian and everything. I don't want to bash anybody. I didn't laugh because I'd never seen the movie. It was like a bad movie, and it's a bad movie. And you go, this movie's so bad. I mean, list all these things that don't make sense. That sounds terrible. I haven't seen the movie, so you could just be making it up. I really don't know. Also, that's not, you know, that's kind of low-hanging fruit. Make fun of some linguist or something. That'd be funny. No, that may be over people's heads. Not over people's heads. That's not. I hate when people say things like that. That joke went over everyone's head. It didn't go over, necessarily. It could have crawled right under him. I felt something, like, under my butt, like it was like a hose. That was Hardy's joke. Oh, it kind of slithered by. Yep, it went right under you. And I'm sorry. Oh, a lot of what you say goes past me. Yes, I know. Not over my head, really. Yes. Because you're an intellectual midget compared to me. Oh, don't say that word. It's not, I meant like, well, HO scale train intellectually. All right. I'm sorry. Oh, that's okay, man. Oh, I didn't mean to put you down. No, no, stature's not. I know your heart. I love you. I make mistakes all the time. Sometimes I make huge ones. Someone said, don't press that button. It'll result in the destruction of lots of people. And, you know, when people say don't. I don't know if I've done anything. I've tried not to do anything overtly harmful. But the good thing about life is that even if you will, you'll be punished regardless. So that's nice to know. But, you know, you have your conscience to worry about. So there you go. Do the right thing. There's no reward. Sometimes things go the opposite for you, and that's okay, too. It's not okay. It's not. It's awful. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about it? Oh, I wish. It's so annoying to sometimes say you can be aggressively joyful. That's, I think, I would do if I was in a really bad situation or something. If I knew I was going to perish or something like that, my last act of aggression would be a sort of relentless cheeriness. And they wouldn't understand that. I think it'd be irritating to the cruel. You're not, my cruelty is having no effect. I'm sorry. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. Let me try to cry. So I don't know. Maybe that's stupid too. Oh, I'm looking around for my advice, and I looked at the dry board. They've all fallen asleep. All the old people around the table. And now they're drooling. They're drooling on watercolor stock kind of paper, though. And I take it, and all the drool blots, I stain it, and I make it into art. And so a board, old board, has drooled and made something beautiful. Something creative has come running out of their mouth as they sleep, like a sort of oozy nightmare. Like a congressman's teeth. And that's the title of this show, is Against Sense. Oh, you thought it was going to be Congressman's Teeth. Oh, that's better. That's more like a band name. Everything's a band name. The whole world's been absorbed into it. What's the ultimate Yes. You know what my band... The ultimate band name is the sum total of everything that has been said in your life. Isn't that great? And then you represent it as just a bunch of squiggly lines, like it's a death metal logo or something. But the actual word is the pronouncing of everything that you've ever uttered, all utterances. Oh, what an idea. This guy makes a lot of sense. Kind of listen to this guy makes a lot of sense. I have been looking for a voice on the radio to tell me to make sense of this all, this mad world. Oh, things happen. I read the news. I pick up that newspaper and it says that these grocery stores, they've got hardware there mixed among the fruits and vegetables, and I don't even know what to believe anymore. What if I bite into a hammer thinking it's one of those English cucumbers, the ones that are so precious that they must be individually shrink-wrapped, like they're gourmet weed? And I bring them home. What is this horrifying shape? And you go, oh, that is your food allotment. Make something out of it, Hardy. Take that and make something. That's what I try to do. You bring me some scraps, and I will make them into something. and then I'll probably throw it away before you be able to check back and see what it was. But I'll tell you something, what the feeling it gave me was joy. Much like these radio shows for you, they might do it. See, I was struggling with a lot of philosophical things, what to make about life, and this guy comes on and he starts making sense of it for me. He says, did you ever consider this? You know, and then he says something insane. I think, God, no. I never did consider that. Because I always thought that was just demonstrably wrong. I go, well, why don't you think about it for a while? And it will infiltrate your world and your worldview. And then it will start to sort of make a sort of weird sense. And I think, I am creating my own reality, just like they tell me on the advertisements for things I don't need. They're right. You absolutely can control your world. I can make all sorts of things. I can create needs I didn't know I had. I can create wants and desires out of almost thin air. And then all of a sudden, I'll be flipping through a catalog or looking online, and there's the thing I need. I didn't know I needed it. And then I press buy. Buy. I think, do I have to send any money? Money's fine. We got the money. All right. Just press it. Press. It'll be there soon. Oh, good. And then what? And then you put it. There's a hole that's shaped like this object. All right. Well, that's weird because it's a packet of stuff that solidifies cooking oil. All right, well, still everything has a hole that's shaped. Put that in there, and then it's done. That is though a product that has kept on giving for me. Because there's this stuff you can put in your hot cooking oil. So, you know, let's say you deep fry, somebody talks you into deep frying something, and they go, you know, what's for dinner? And you go, I would like beignets, latkes, French fries, and scotch egg. And you go, oh, that's a lot of oil. So you got all this cooking oil. Well, they've got this stuff you can put in there, and it's begrenium niblabsabs, and it's a chemical. And you put it in the hot oil, and it solidifies into a gooey gel that then you can just toss on your neighbor's lawn or something like that. I just chuck it out into the driveway. But then you don't have to be, oh, because, you know, I'm looking for a jar. I got to empty out all the pickles. I wanted to eat them, but now I have to empty them out because I've got to put waste oil in something. Not again. Oh, you know, cooking in oil. How did that even start? Can you imagine this? What's this? Can you imagine this? How did the first person who ever cooked in oil say, hey, gloom, gloob? He's a caveman. What do you got there? Ooh, I've got this stuff that I squeezed out of safflower. Or canola. I found some wild canola. Then what? Then I made a pillow of it, and I put a rock on a rock, and I laid my head on it. And when I woke up, I was covered with this slimy substance. Yeah, and so I collected it. I scraped it off my face, and then I think I'll boil it and put something in it. And then I tasted it, and it was just fantastic. So that's how the first fried food. Thank you very much. Oh, I'm being waved over to sit with Johnny. Hey, Johnny, fabulous young talent here. Thank you. Thank you. So you say some funny things. You're from one of the states. I am from one of the states there, one of the United ones. And thank you. And it's so great to be. That's my dream. Not really. I don't want to meet Johnny Carson. Could you imagine? That'd be scary. He's been gone a long time now. I wonder what he looks like. Was he buried or cremated? I have to know, because if I got to picture him, I got to know whether it's a, you know, if it's just ashes. What a beautiful, he could be everywhere. But if it's a kind of a corpse that's putrefying or desiccating somewhere, then he's probably kind of scully. Again, I don't want to give you nightmares. Give yourself nightmares, really. And it is about not confronting fears, and it's wonderful to explore why you're afraid of things. I'm not afraid of you, Hardy. I just don't like you. Well, you're afraid of liking me, maybe. No. I don't know. I'll give you something to be afraid of. No, I would never do that. I don't. Oh, just raising my voice. I love to do it just funning around, but it scares me sometimes. So I'll raise my own voice. Sometimes if you have a larger stature, please don't forget this. You know, because people, I've had big people yell at me sometimes. They don't know how scary their voice sounds. We do this to children, too. It's like, you know, it's one thing.
Yeah, you better do this.
Like that. So I kind of try to yell at children, like, in a Smurf voice. Because when you go to your room, that's terrifying. And you don't want to terrify children. They're going to get that anyway. Oh, yes, I don't want to add to it. I'm going to be I'm scared, but I'm thinking of Hardy, and it's giving me strength. That's right. I'm imagining myself him. Don't do that. I would stick with like a superhero or something for those moments, maybe. Give yourself additional powers. I don't know what mine is. I couldn't. Who knows? I might have unexplored powers. I know I have some. I use them mainly for to distract people away from noticing me, which I find is a good survival technique. Sort of camouflage. I don't mind that. You know, I often bemoan not being able to be individual. You know, if you dress differently, you get people notice you and they give you ridicule and everything. But, you know, the flip side is not being ridiculed is lovely. And I do like to blend in and be not noticed is just fine. You know, because then you're not judged or... You know, also, people get... you don't know what's going on in their head, right? So they could see you and they might get challenged somehow by your hat. They might think your hat is some comment on them. That's what I worry about, you know, because people are weird. And then you go, what do you mean by that hat? No, it's just an old-timey top hat. It's kind of, I'm pretending that I'm a Victorian undertaker.
Yeah, well, you look like a Monopoly Man.
Well, no, it's not the same Monopoly Man shape, but right, that's the kind of, And then I explain to him, you know, top hats, people used to wear them. Then I talk about the Ice King, this guy, and you know, that had in the 19th century that kind of cornered the ice market and all these barons, these captains of industry, and he just wandered off and he didn't hurt me. That's what I can bore you. I can bore you away. It's like a force field. They have that on Star Trek. I saw that and they go, put up shields. I go, I know what I could use as your shield. Because I've felt that the repulsive force of the flipping the magnet. So people go, you have a magnetic personality. People are drawn to you. Well, you might not want people drawn to you. So all you have to do is, like Doctor Who used to say, reverse the polarity and then magnets become repulsive. And you just become repulsive to people. It's lovely. And they leave you alone. This is also in nature will happen. There's those horrible snakes that pretend they're dead and they stink and they flip on their backs and it's, and you know they're alive and they're going, oh, I'm dead though. I go, no, you're not. It was a hognose snake or something. We had them in Florida. And it's embarrassing, but that's a perfectly good technique. It feels like it was stolen from an old kung fu movie though, doesn't it? This kung fu master, he lays down and releases an odor. And he wishes he could be more still. But sometimes it's really, he thinks that they're avoiding because they think he's a corpse, but he just smells. So they avoid it. Oh, are you putting off a smell? What's the smell? Do you want people attracted to it? Like a cinnamon bun? Is that the odor that you want to put off to the world? Or do you want to put off an odor that's a little more like cilantro or maybe a garlicky thing? Something that's a little more challenging? Durian fruit? I don't know what you want to... So I'm not talking about literal smell. Oh, my friend, no. I'm talking about the odor of your demeanor. Or your personality or something. Light the fuse,
and flee. This mission seems impossible to me.
This is an impossible mission.
Roll the dice, check the lock, make a plan.
Impossible.
This mission, man, it seems impossible to me.
This is an impossible mission.
Mission possible. I've got the men, I've got a plan.
Impossible.
This mission
is impossible.
The mission's not impossible to me.
Oh, what was that? Well, I like to write original theme songs to old TV shows. Well, that's not the original theme song. I wrote it, so it's an original. I mean, I do a new theme song for old TV shows. Why? Did they ask for it? No. Why did you do it? I don't know. I don't know why I do it. I do it, maybe it does it give you a little bit of joy? Because when I do it, I have fun. And then I think, can I transfer this feeling I'm having to others? You know, maybe a little bit of it is in the thing. And so I put the thing forth and say, do you get any kind of joy out of this? And you go, very little bit. And I go, well, that's fine. It's not going to be one-to-one. I might get more out of it than you do. But then I put it out there. Now, I've done a lot of these now, enough that I've got a whole CD that's going to be the premium for when the marathon rolls around. So you can't buy it in stores or online or anything. You say, well, I'm going to wait to the middle of the night to when the ad comes on for it. It's like, oh, it's all of Hardy White's original theme songs to original TV shows. You'll get, you know, Gunsmoke. That's the smell of Gunsmoke. That's a good one. I like that. I did Gunsmoke. I did Petticoat Junction. Hoo-hoot. Hoo-hoot. I love that one. That's my... I wanna... And I can hum my themes to them. You say, well, that's not the original one. It's now it is. So I'm changing history a little for the better. So maybe you'll be amused by that. And I like anything I can give you that's got a little bit of usefulness to it. Did you ever get a gift like that? Oh, an elderly neighbor's got something for you. You go, oh, it's exciting. Oh, it's a shoebox. What's in there? It's a coin collection. A coin collection? Holy crap. And then you open it up, and it's just pennies and nickels. And you go, well, there's probably some valuable ones in there. Okay. But it's still nice, you know. It's tens of dollars of... And the smell. Interesting odor. A box full of coins. I wonder if that'll be made into a fragrance. I'll have to ask Bronwyn whether there's a box full of coin smell. I know there must be. Who wants to smell like that? You smell like pennies. Yes, I do. I smell like a big jar of pennies. All right. Don't you want to roll around in it? No, I don't, though. Some smells I do, and some I don't. Oh, you were just talking about smells. There's other things, sounds. Sounds are obvious, because we're in a sound medium right now. Now, every once in a while, scrolling up on my news and everything, comes up this completely silent room. There's a completely silent room. And they use it, I think they use it primarily for torture. But it also can be used for experiments, for acoustics and all sorts of things like that. They need a soundless environment. But I'm told that you can't survive in there more than a little while, or that your head will explode or something, because this pressure of the sound outside, noises actually keep your head intact. So for instance, the pressure keeps a balloon from just exploding. Otherwise, the pressure inside would be greater than the pressure outside. And this is the same way with sound. So all sorts of, you know, some people don't have sounds in their head, and their head could explode in certain surroundings, depending on what the ambient noises. So you got to be very careful, especially any kind of ambient concert where you go, what is this one going to be? Said they're going to play sounds that they recorded in a parking lot. And then on top of that, they're going to put
all sorts of crinkly things and all and beeps. Okay, I'd like that. That actually sounds pretty good. I like to listen and imagine, and I don't always like it, you know, painted precisely for me. I like soundscapes that are confusing a little bit. I like to be able to interpret what I'm hearing. What is that sound? And you see that in fiction a lot. What is that? They didn't know what they heard at first. And then we have to put it on radio or the movies, you know. Imagine if that was a detail in a book, you know. Pip-Pop and Wiggles listened at the door. They heard a strange sound. What was it?
What do you think the sound is, Pip-Pop?
I don't know, Wiggles. I don't recognize it.
Shklukafluksh, shklukafluksh.
And then it's represented, you know, as a word. You know, what is that sound? Then you could do a couple of things. You could say it sounds like something, because when you're hearing something unfamiliar, you try to think, what's the closest thing it could be? So it sounds like metal scraping on stone.
It does sound like maybe somebody is shoveling a sidewalk.
So there's your first clue that it's kind of a sheer. And I don't know. It turns out it was this, I don't know what it was, some kind of machine that destroys souls. But initially what they thought is, oh, there's some kind of shoveling or anything. Because that's the frequency you hear. Oh, have you ever messed around with a synthesizer like that? Do you have, they have these now. I'm fascinated with them. You can make really any kind of sound. You can take a waveform and you make it sound like a violin or somebody going, wah, 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 wah. Fun. They did all the Doctor Who thing is all knobs. And there's funny, there's no, is there an album called All Knobs? Because I really believe that that's, that describes a lot of music. And am I creating a sort of music for you? When I first heard My Dinner with Andre, I didn't know what I was listening to because it was dubbed in another language. And then when I heard it, I realized that there was a musicality to it, that there was a sort of sing-songy nature to the speaking. And I began to hear that in other things, if there was a lot of words in something. You know, not all drama has a lot of words. You know, some people like to just, if it's movies, sometimes you just maybe convey images. If it's a play, sometimes people are just walking back and forth on stage or pretending to sweep some light into a smaller thing of light. Or run around with a bucket and you think, that's water, oh, it's confetti. But if they speak words, and they do it in all sorts of theater, and they do it in Shakespeare, they use a musicality, a rhythm to it, so that the language has very similar characteristics to music. So that the instruments come in and they come out and sometimes they're there. So if you were listening to piano or solo piano, it might sound a little bit like Hardy White. And you know they've got these videos where somebody's a really good guitar player or a musician or something will find the tones in some meme where somebody's going, oh my goodness, I lost my dog. And they'll go, lost my dog, like that, and they play it on the guitar and everything. And write it on the guitar and everything. They could have done just what I just said. They would do it as jazz. There's that combination again, like jazzercise. That's what I'm saying. That's what I've been saying since the beginning. This guy here makes a lot of sense. I'm making a lot of something. Is it sense or are they sense? Are you smelling or are you reasoning? Because that's what it is a lot of times, is what you think is reason is reaction. So you think, I've come to that conclusion, man, something, and you can see it in our, the way we speak, something's rotten in Denmark. I smell a rat. There's all these comparisons to smelling. Because you know there's an odor, this is like synesthesia or something. There's an odor to attitude. Your attitude stinks. You ever heard anybody say that? Hardy, you walked in the room and you have an odor. It's wonderful. No, you can't. It's usually the negative. You smell like, who smells like cinnamon? That's me. I'm pretty positive today. I don't literally smell like cinnamon, but I do. There's some people that, I wonder if there's that kind of, you get around somebody and you go, vanilla. Just, not because of the smell, but just you get a vibe. And the vibe is citrus. A lot of people would be. You know how citrus is. It could be, it's acidic, but it's sweet. And in the something, you need it, but then again, you could probably live without it. It does give some people, you know, dyspeptic problems or acid reflux. Ah, what a logo they have. That's why I followed the band in the first place, is that crazy thing. It just looks like a bunch of sticks thrown on the ground. I wish I had that kind of flair, or I could do some kind of graffiti tagging, and you go, what does that say? And they go, ah, awesome. You can't tell. Isn't that I think that's part of it. Otherwise, the police would be knocking at your door. You know, are you Hardy White? Why? We saw your graffiti. You can't read that. I didn't lift the pen. You can't read that.
It says Hardy White, clearly.
No, it doesn't say it clearly. I did it in very stylized letters that you are not hip enough to know. So there's no way that you could have, I did not tag that train or plane or I don't know what they, no one tags planes, no guts. No, that would be, he shouldn't be, I don't want people approaching the plane enough to put graffiti on it. But then I kind of look cooler, and I don't really want people messing around with the plane, I guess. Train, you know, what are your chances for survival anyway? Someone might as well spray paint it. You know, it's so dangerous. Worse than planes. I'd sooner go up in a hot air balloon than just sit in a chair. No, that one doesn't work. I'd rather draw. What is it, safer? It's safer to do a thing, one thing over another until something bad happens, then they're equally dangerous. So is it safer to drive or fly without a plane? And by that I mean like an Iron Man suit. Those, I rue the day that anybody, that someone came up with that idea. Because now it's in the human consciousness and there's going to be flying robot suits like that. I'm stuck in mine, because they've got the Cybermen too. It's like, don't get in it. Why would you get in a thing that has a like consciousness or a brain or something? The suit's doing the thinking now. Well, why does it need me? Because it runs on urine. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know what the machines will require of us. I hope it's not, oh, God, what if it's like snot and they just keep us in a constant state of mild allergies? It's like, oh, God, it's like having a bad cold all the time. That's because they're living off our snot. They need it. If we could only get enough Sudafed. No, I've used it all for meth. Well, oh, I don't know. What do we do? See, I tell you what, you got to be prepared. There could be things, unknown things. And I think I am making a lot of sense. Right? It's really a wonder, though. You do hear people saying what we would used to classically consider nonsense. And people, it's sounding logical to people. I wonder about that. So I'm like, am I wrong? And so sometimes I will descend into the dream world, but it gets me anxious to try to convince something of someone that I am unsure of whether it's true or not. That seems fraught. You know, I really did. That's why I eschew a lot of those, dogmatic belief systems. Because, boy, I get you talked into something. What have I done? What have I done? You know, I get you, oh, I got them all jazzed up for fuller brushes. But is that really what they need? And as you're brushing your hair, it's a perfectly good product, I'm sure. I should have picked something else. Got you all jazzed up for encyclopedias. But then I start delivering the encyclopedias, and you say, oh, this is online. I go, I know, I'm sorry. But you signed a thing. Oh. So I'm sorry, but now you have to buy them. Oh, okay. I don't want to ever do that to you. I don't want to ever do that to you. Now I'm to the place where, oh, it's so good. It's good to get older. And my ambition has changed. I used to have a different kind of ambition. Now it's a more of, a day, like getting things done during the day. And I don't mean that in a silly way. I mean, I no longer have this like vision for my life or something I have to be or some status I have to. Now I just, my ambition is like, I'm going to go forth and in a certain state of being aware of my fellow human beings and the world I'm in. And it's that awareness, you know, that noticing, that's going to be my priority. And I'm not going to worry about how I'm perceived or control I have or influence I have over people or things I can make them do or things I say that are, that guy makes a lot of sense. I don't want to make a lot of sense to people. All I want to be able to do really is give you evidence of the validity of your pain and confusion and of some of the other things that you feel about being alive and take the pressure off you a little bit and just be there for you. Someone said, well, it's not that Hardy makes sense, but it's just like Hardy's just being, and that sort of makes me feel less alone or strange. You know, can I feel a sense of feeling good about myself without, stuff interfering now. See, Hardy seems fine. I'm fine. Although, don't let that nonsense haunt you. There's too many real things. Don't ever feel inferior or anything like that. I've accomplished a lot of things. Some people don't make it past the first year of life, so it's just crazy just still being alive. Don't worry about the people that are doing, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they make movies and books and inventions and God bless them, the flying paint lanes around. I don't know. That's just not me. And I'm not going to worry about it. You know, I can love everybody. They're just fine. You're all right. We're just human beings struggling. So frail. So temporary. Oh, this thing you can cause, boy, a person can come out and cause all this horror, you know, and torment others. And haunt the brains of others, and they die, and then they're gone. Then they're just gone. It's so strange. And you do the other thing, if a person brings all this goodness, and blah, 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 and then they're just gone. And then they're not there. And you go, wow, that was a... You could see how the starkness of the contrast lets you know just how strange and powerful the fact of our existence is, you know? And so I want to just celebrate being here one more moment with you. And just in the moment, we're going to crawl into the moment between the spaces like that and live there. And there it's absurd and there's no conclusions. It transcends truth or reason or anything like that. It's just a space of just pure weirdness and feeling and experience. That's why I want to go there with you periodically. Or like a periodical. Let's turn into magazines so we can slide under doors. You're a magazine. You're an octopus. You can get in little tiny spaces, little cracks between things now. Maneuver into them. Become slim. And see the way the world really is, fractured and strange and wonderful and unpredictable and predictable and finite and infinite and subtle and gross. That's me. That's me. That's a bowling team name. Some things are band names. Subtle and gross, I think, is a bowling team. I would love to be on. Are we on a team together? That'd be a good premium. I don't have any money, so I never make t-shirts or anything like that or clothing items. But if I had it, we could all have bowling shirts or something that said, and on the back it said like, Hardy White Miracle Nutrition, and we all get these bowling shirts. Oh, if I can dream. I tell you what, if I come into the, I'm going to start doing the lottery. And if I come into it, I'm going to make this as a premium some year. I don't go bowling often. I enjoy it, and I'm not super good, but I like it. And that's probably why I like it, because I'm not the best and I'm not the worst. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to do in a sport or in a game. I do that in cards. That's why I like cards. I'm not the best at it, and I'm not the worst at it. I can just sit there and be a people, and that's really satisfying to me. And, you know, some days are good. Some days you go bowling and you do great, and other days you don't. You know, that's the way life is anyway. You know, it's a sort of an average, but it's not really an average. That means so little. You know, in bowling, that's the thing, too. It's like, what's your average? The average doesn't describe anything, because at any given time, I could bowl really lousy. So lousy that we wouldn't win anything. I would feel bad and I'd hate the game. Then I could bowl great, so great I don't even know what I'm doing, why I'm bowling great. But the feeling of euphoria, enough to win and beat somebody. But if you say, well, that averages out to right here, you discount all those feelings and emotions are gone and it tells you nothing about it. So you say, oh, yeah, you're bowling, you're a 150 bowler. And you go, I am not a 150 bowler. I am a 100 bowler and a 200 bowler. And those things are vastly different. And so, you know, don't attempt to make consistency out of inconsistency just so you can establish a pattern or establish some kind of, you know, put a name on it. Don't worry about that. You know, all over the place. Well, what am I? I'm all over the place. Sometimes I have success and failure. I don't have... You're a bowler. So let's bowl on, my friends. Oh, I love you. Can we all... Let's say... We've got... how many... what? Let me ask the producer. Producer.
How many minutes are we going to have?
Hang on, I'm asking. How many minutes do we have left? In the show, how many minutes do we have left? Asking the producer how many minutes. There's no producer. I'm kidding. I'm all alone in a room. I'd like to ask myself that. Hang on just a second. What? What? The age of phones, I usually don't hear the other side. I'm an inveterate eavesdropper. And usually you just get one half of a conversation, right? Unless you're eavesdropping on somebody's CB conversation or ham radio. That's not really eavesdropping because it's everybody knows you can listen in. Telephone conversation, sometimes you only, unless you're the weatherman, you only hear one half of it. And so you're just hearing one half of the conversation. You can only imagine what they're saying on the other half. That's, I guess the first person to do that was not Bob Newhart, nor was it Shelley Berman. I guess it was Cohen on the telephone or something, but it must have come way before that. It probably happened right around the time the telephone was invented, and it might have gone something like this.
What's that you got there?
Oh, it's a new invention. It's called the telephone.
Well, I'd like to try it out.
All right, here you go.
Shoo, 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 shoo. Hello? All right? All right? All right?
What do you say? I don't know. I'm working on it. I don't think that's what happened. I was vacationing somewhere, was it? I think it was like Jekyll Island? No. Myrtle Beach? Why do I get them confused? But it was on the coast of one of the Georgia. And I was there was rich people used to live there. And so you could see some of their homes. But there was an exhibit, a little museum about what the place was like when rich people lived there, and Jekyll Island. And they, one of them was an transatlantic, that's the word I'm looking for, telephone conversation that happened. So it's a bunch of rich people gathered around on those, you know, hello, hello phones. And, you know,
ahoy, are you there? Are you there?
So they talked like that between Georgia and, could have been France. And the person on the other is, you know, bonjour. I speak a little French. I don't know why I did fake French. But that conversation now, that, one side of it wouldn't have been very entertaining. All the other guys, there was a picture though, all the other rich people huddled around going, what's he saying? But there's no comedy in it, really. Not everything is funny. Not everything can be made a joke of. Have you seen this in grocery stores now? They've got airplane seats in the grocery stores. You think the aisles are narrow. Now they've got this, and there's no room in those seats. Am I right? So every time somebody puts back one of the aisles, I get a face full of cans of peanut butter. I know they're not cans of peanut butter. None of that makes any sense. I was worried some of it would. So I adjusted mid-joke. And I've been selling these jokes in the future like crazy because people are really tired of predictable things. And so you can just take any kind of garbage and put it in the future, and they love it. So it's wonderful. Why doesn't everybody do that? Because they're not from the past like I am. They don't have a time machine. They don't think ahead. I think ahead a lot of times. I'm always a couple moves ahead. So people hate playing games with me. Playing board games, they go, excuse me, Hardy, I think you might be cheating. Why? Well, you're a couple moves ahead. And go, yeah? Well, wasn't your turn. That's the game I play. I go out of turn, buddy. Yeah, man, I'm a sort of game-playing rebel. No, I do play by the rules. Why do I like rules? Because rules help prevent authoritarianism. You know, if there's just one person making up and bossing, it's better if you go, well, hang on now, there's a rule. You can't do that. And we all agree. That's better. But people get really lazy about that. They go, I don't want to have to get together and discuss rule stuff. Can't somebody just make a decision? But I'm not about that. I like getting together and making the decisions together. I don't really want to put someone in charge because I had to live through that whole, you know, King Saul stuff. Because I was back then. I was back then, too. Oh, bless you so much for listening to me. I know your friends they're saying, why do you listen to that guy? He doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And you say, yes, I know. I know. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and in New York City and online worldwide, WFMU.org. Oh, my friends, thank you for joining me, and I will see you again next week.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. soul's part of my soul, girl.
Welcome to the Quiet Storm.
But yours truly, Captain D.I.C. Whatever is totally in control. Your mind, your body, your soul, girl. You know what I want y'all to do right now? I want y'all to just get real close, right by that radio. Bring it close as you can. Cause I got some real sexy I want to tell y'all. Oh, girl. You know something, girl? When you came into my life, you made my jagged edges smooth. Oh, girl. You became my purpose, my reason for living. You know something, girl? You are most definitely my heart, my soul, and nothing but my strong inspiration. Oh, girl. That's why you for me and me for you. And girl, I just want to say this right here to you, girl. I mean, you know, if it weren't for all those type of things, I mean, it won't be no you. It